What does it look like to work in a rooted way for the Lord? And so I was in Psalm 127, 1 and 2, and I thought I would spend a little time there together with you guys. I titled this devotion, "It All Depends." It all depends. And let's look to the Lord in prayer before I jump in and teach these things. Father, thank you for your word. We need it. It is bread for our soul, water to drink to refresh us. We draw strength from this truth that is in your word. We cling to you and these things, these realities that equip us for how to live in this world. And Lord, we pray even now as I teach that you would lead us through your spirit in connection with your word and help us grow. Help us to grow roots as we consider work and all that goes into that. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, this is how these two verses read. It's first of all, it's written by Solomon. That's significant to note. This dude knew how to work. He built a lot of stuff. But it's also meant to be sung during those three pilgrimages each year as faithful Jews would journey up to Jerusalem, ascend, as it were, up the hill to worship at the temple. And so think of what they're doing. They're leaving all their belongings. They're leaving all their, you know, herds and whatever, flocks. I don't even know how this works. This is significant. You would pack up in a day where you're living in a house that isn't really secure to leave for a long period of time. And so some of these words are going to carry a little more when you realize these people are camping. They're on their way up to Jerusalem, leaving all of their possessions and flocks back home, maybe under the watch care of helpers and stuff, and they're journeying to Jerusalem. Here's what the call from Solomon is under inspiration of the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For, here's the basis of it, for he, that is God himself, gives to his beloved sleep. And some of you are like, amen to that. Amen. Especially if you're home from college, you're enjoying sleeping in a little bit. That's good. Let's look at this in three categories. First is vain working. There is a way to work that is vain. That word vain means meaningless, purposeless. It's worthless. There's no value there. There's nothing of substance that's being accomplished in the eyes of the Lord. Vain working. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it, and you're like, well, wait a second, who's building it? You're like, well, we're building it. But he says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Let's unpack this a little bit. First of all, work is a gift from God. Have you considered that work was something that was given before the fall? Work was assigned to Adam in the garden. This is a gift of God. We've been made by God to work. Work is good. But there is such a way to work that is not good, that is indeed vain. Vain work, worthless work. It would be in the category of godless. If you were going to build a house, there's one way to build that would be godless and another way to build that is godly. What's the difference between the two? Obviously, as believers, we don't want to work in vain before the Lord. What's the difference? It has everything to do with our posture before Him. We can approach the building of a house, the building of a career, the building of a bank account, as it were, to try to save money, to try to gather possession. We can approach these things with a desire that is set upon them or a desire that is set upon God. There's a very different approach in godless building. In fact, you could think of this as practical atheism. To build in such a way, to work in such a way as there is no thought of God while you do it. Here's a question. During your workday, Are you aware of him? Are you communing with him? Are you talking with him, engaging him, delighting in him? Are you walking with him through your workday, or are you just going through your workday as if he basically doesn't exist? Now, have you ever caught yourself doing this? I do. I've caught myself. In fact, I've lived almost an entire day without a thought vertical up to the Lord. That's crazy. We've got to be aware of this. I think at the heart of it is one approach is in independence, proud independence. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I make my own destiny. I create my own wealth, self-made, tattooed on our knuckles, right? I did it. And what happens is when I get promoted, who do I thank? Me. Who do I praise when my business succeeds? I praise me. You see the difference. The posture is, it's all about me and how I go about that work. Versus the believer is called to be one that works, absolutely, but in humble dependence, working for the glory of God, working for the purposes and goals of God, even in that work. What kind of work do I do? Is it a kind of work that's going to glorify God? In fact, I want to equip you guys with some stuff as you go tonight. I gave you 4 pages on a theology of work that I summed up from a Wayne Grudem book that is spectacular. And I just give this to you guys. When you think about work, when you think about the product that you make, business to the glory of God. Business is wonderful and good, but it should be done in a godly way. So this is homework, a handout, however you want to see it for you guys as you go. I think it's very helpful, and my hope is to equip us to work differently tomorrow morning, to approach it differently, in a more godly way. Humble dependence. Jesus said this, right? I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And then he said this, and I always go back to this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, you think how vain it would be to work without him? How vain is it to try to work without him? Well, it's that vain. You can't do anything without him. And that which you do without him is worthless and meaningless. And so the Christian is called to work with him, work depending upon him, for him. You're God's employee before you're the employee of anybody else. Your primary job is as his messenger, his representative on this earth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's pride. That's arrogance. It's godlessness. That's vain. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. These are good words for us, good reminders for us as we're heading to work. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so whether you are cooking meat, right, at taco time, whether you are making coffee in a coffee truck, whether you are doing whatever it is you're doing, changing diapers, right, in the middle of the day, do all to the glory of God. There is a vain way to do those things and a godly, worthwhile way to do those things. So, application here for us. Number one, work hard for the glory of God. We were created by God to work. Work is a gift. We are called to work. We should work hard. We should stand out as Christians in the workplace for his glory. Number two, bring glory to God in every aspect of your work, both big and small. There is nothing too small to glorify God. Nothing too big that it can't glorify God. Humbly depend upon God in prayer as you work and seek his direction for your career. I mean, so much foundation is being laid. You guys are pouring concrete, right? This is career building years. And if you go with God in this work, there is a godly reward, a godly way to work that out. And there is a vain and godless way to go about it. Let your work make you more dependent upon God, not less. There's wisdom there. Make your work cause you, go about your work in such a way that causes you to be more grateful, more dependent. When you get that promotion, be quick to know, where did that come from? Based upon what gifts? Where did those gifts come from? That talent, that know-how. Who is the giver of every good and perfect gift? That's God. And make it humble you, not puff you up in pride. Okay, so let's look at the next part of this verse, vain watching. So vain working, now vain watching. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. I want you to put yourself on the wall of a city. You're guarding against the Philistines. You're supposed to stay awake while others sleep, right? And you're fighting, like there's no coffee, right? You're fighting to stay awake. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. The Lord says through Solomon, there is a vain way to watch for threats, and there is a God-honoring way to do that. Let's build this out a little bit. Is he suggesting that we should have no walls, that watching is worthless, that we shouldn't watch, that we shouldn't have borders? Some are saying that in our day. I don't understand that. I disagree. We should have borders. We should have walls. Solomon built huge walls. Nothing wrong with walls. There's nothing wrong with the Second Amendment or having a gun to protect yourself, right? There's nothing wrong with protecting or watching or guarding. The issue is, how do we go about it? Where do we put our trust? What is the understanding of our role, and what is the understanding of God's role? There is a way to guard that is godless. That way would say that I carry all the weight of guarding. I am the ultimate responsible party in protecting what I have amassed, what monies I have, what stocks I need to protect in this volatile market, right? I am the guardian of my own destiny. Is that what the Christian is to think? No. We are those totally depending upon God. It depends on Him. It all depends on Him. Godly guarding. So yes, guard. Yes, protect. What are some of the categories? Well, money, family, health, friends, possession. The list can go on and on. What are some of the things that we should wisely steward and guard and protect? Many things. But not in such a way as if somehow we carry more responsibility than we actually do. I'm thinking about leaving my home to go up to Jerusalem and walking away fretting the entire time that someone is going to break into my house and steal all my possessions. That's a real thing for the people who climb the mountain singing this song. But there's a better way to go up the mountain singing this song, trusting in the Lord. Do what you need to do to secure your house and then go. And sing and enter in and worship Him with a full heart, not a divided heart, worrying about those things. He is our ultimate protector. When I am afraid, I put my trust in You. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. There is a godless way to guard and protect, and a godly way. So, application, keep watch and stand guard. That's a good thing to do. Be wise. Steward your finances well. Don't make poor decisions when it comes to possessions and protecting your family and your belongings and all of that. But when you do that, remember, ultimate safety is the Lord's. Ultimately, it all depends on Him. Rest in God's sovereign power and plan. Otherwise, you are going to not sleep well, which is where we're going next, right? You are going to carry more weight than you were ever intended to carry. Don't fix your hope on riches or possessions. And I just want to impress that on you guys. As you are building your career, oh, how easy it is to get pulled into a world that says, give yourself, give your soul to the making and amassing of wealth and possessions and money. That is where you find security. That's not where you're going to find hope and security, only in the Lord. Now, number three, vain worrying. This is where Solomon goes, vain worrying. A man who worked really hard and built a lot of things. He says, "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he, your God, gives to you, his beloved, sleep." Sleep is a gift as much as work is a gift. Think of this. God intends you to work hard, but he also intends you to stop working and sleep in his care as a gift from his hand. The bread of anxious toil. Can you guys feel that bread? That bread that's eaten with, it's just like you're eating anxiety. What are some of the things that stir this anxiety? Oh, so many things. To live in a stressed out situation. You've got maybe a workplace conflict, or there's a situation financially that's got you overwhelmed and you're just stressed out and you're agitated or you're frantic. You need more hours. You need more money. You need that promotion. You've got to work harder, longer, quicker. You're constantly running. There's sleepless nights. What do you do if you find yourself in that place? Here's a question. What do you do when you can't stop working? Let me ask the question. I don't like this word. This is a psychology word. I like Bible words, right? This is not in the Bible. This word is not in the Bible. It makes it sound like you can't stop. You can stop. You can stop working. You're choosing to keep working. The question is why? How much work is too much work? That's a question that a Christian should ask. How many hours of my week should I give my time to work? How much overtime? How much, you know, advancement is needed? How many promotions do I have to have, just have to have, before I say, you know, it's enough. That's enough. It's not worth it. Some of these things that drive it, fear of man. Fear of man, I want to look good in front of my peers. I want the people who are my coworkers to see that I am a better worker. I don't want to let them down. Oh, I've heard this a lot. I don't want to let them down. And so I'm taking on all kinds of stuff that I really can't handle because I'm afraid of letting someone down. Fear of man. Another driver can be pride. Pride, I have to be the best. I want to come in first. I want all my friends to know I have more. More toys. More money. More power. More influence. More recognition. More fame. I mean, the list goes on and on. Greed. We live in a materialistic society. There's no end to the things that the world is trying to get you to sell your soul for. How much is enough? And then idolatry. Know this, John Calvin was right. We have a heart that is an idol factory. We can make an idol out of anything. Even good things can become an idol. So we've got to ask these questions as Christians. Where do we draw the line? How much work is too much work? When do we know we're crossing that line? Note this. This song is sung 3 times a year by people who had to drop everything in an agricultural society. That's not easy to do. Leave it and go worship. But I'm in the middle of the... No. It's time to go. Pack it up. We're going camping. Bring the whole family. Let's go. See, this is good for God's people to have those routines built in and to sing as they climbed up to the temple. Jesus said, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' 'What shall we wear?' The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What should we do then? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Focus on the Lord and your relationship with him and the person you are in him. The righteousness that you've been created to shine and recreated to shine. And he says, all these things will be added to you. It's all going to fall in place. Doesn't mean you're going to get all the promotions you ever want. This isn't some prosperity gospel. It means the things that you thought were impossible to figure out, as you set your priorities correctly, they're going to make more sense. The path will straighten. He's going to help you. He says anxiety That's not the way to do it. Therefore, do not be anxious. By the way, that's a command. Do not be anxious is a command. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Which of you can add a single hour by worrying? We can't. Anxiety, the bread of anxious toil, is not the path for the Christian to walk. So application, be satisfied and contented in God. Be satisfied and contented in God. Here's part of that. Submit to God and trust His assigned best for you. God has assigned differently to His children. There's a different measure that is assigned, and He's sovereign over it all. Work hard, absolutely, in God's strength, but then at the end of the day, rest easy in His sovereignty and embrace the gift of sleep. He gives that as a gift. It's not an interruption so that you can keep working. It's not, I guess I have to go to bed. No, we get to sleep. This is awesome. The older I get, the more excited I get to go to bed. I love it. Lastly, don't prioritize work above worship. Okay? I'm not talking legalism here. I'm not saying there's certain, you know, there's a certain Sunday happened. Oh, I got called into work. You know, if you get called in, fine. That's fine. But don't choose to prioritize work in front of the Lord. Worship comes first. It all depends on Him. That's the call tonight, my encouragement. It all depends on Him. Everything. All of your work, all of your watching, and all of that worrying can dissipate as you look to Him. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are blessed by just these two little verses. Thank You for the wisdom of Solomon. Thank You for inspiring him to write these for our benefit here tonight even. I pray, Lord, for each one here that You would make us godly workers, that we would set right priorities and pay close attention to our hearts. Oh, Lord, help us to guard our hearts. We live in a day where it's so easy to be drawn into the pattern of the world, and we are called to not conform, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I pray, Father, that we would stay in tune with these things and that we would truly be workers for Your glory. Those who work hard, trust Your sovereign hand, and then sleep great at night. We love You and we look to You in these things. Bless the conversations now as we break up into groups. In Jesus' name, amen.